Well, God bless each one of you today. It always makes me feel small to stand here before you and speak God's word. God's word has got so many things that we can learn. There's so many things that we can glean from God's word. I thought this morning, before we start, I'd like to just bow our heads for prayer. I want to ask God, I know Phil did already, but I want to do it again. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And we thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit that we can open our hearts to receive your word. Father, would you be glorified today? Help me to just be a mouthpiece for you, but may your word go forth and may it bear fruit and be a blessing to your children. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we start, I want to write something up on the board here and we have a diamond here. At the top it says vision, goal, choice, and action. What do you think of when you think of a vision? When somebody has a vision, what do you think of usually? I think of a concept or a dream or, a concept, we'll say. That vision if I have a vision for something, I'm just going to use Russell as an example. He had a vision to go deer hunting, and he talked to his dad and convinced his dad to take him deer hunting, which those of you that know me know that I don't know how to deer hunt, but we stumble around. And so Russell had a vision, and he talked to me. That became a goal of his. That goal, he came down, he talked to his dad, that became a choice. The choice turned into action, and the action turned into a concrete, actual getting a deer, actually. So it started as a concept, became a goal, dad made a choice, became an action, action became a concrete reality. So a vision, there's different things. When we hear the word vision, it becomes a viewpoint, a perspective, possibly a dream as in a future enterprise. A goal is a mark, it's an aim, it's something to accomplish. And choice is a decision between options. And action is just executing our choices or making things happen. And that choice and action is influenced by our vision and our goal. Like I said, vision is a dream. It's an ideal or concept. It's a light we work toward when the way is foggy, kind of like a GPS system on an airplane, which Gordon knows all about that. You can't see the end place, but you plug in the destination, the coordinates, you take off, and the GPS, that vision, The GPS is like the vision. It shows where it goes. The goal is the destination. The choice is the forks, the crossings we come to in the journey. Which way do we go? Which way do we take? And the action is actually doing it and making it happen. It's the action is how we accomplish the vision, the goal, and the choice part of our lives. Concrete results come from abstract ideas. It's in that cycle there. But in that vision, we have to make sure that our... I've got a set of binoculars here. And this set of binoculars, I never had a really good pair of binoculars. So one day I decided I'm going to buy a good pair of binoculars. I don't hunt, but well, I like to watch birds, and I like to see things up close sometimes. And I set this good pair of binoculars on a shelf, and somebody knocked it off, and it fell down. And I took them out, we went deer hunting, and we were trying to focus on a fence post, and there was two fence posts in this thing. So I thought, well, maybe I just don't know how to use the binoculars. So we worked, and I could close one eye, and the fence post became clear. Close the other eye, and the fence post becomes clear. But if you try to use both of them, there's two fence posts in the picture, and it really is aggravating, especially because I paid good money for these things. But the vision does not line up. Each side of these, the vision does not line up. And that is a term I found out later. There's a term for that. And when binoculars fall, they become out of, they become the collimation of the lenses gets out of focus. There's a mirror inside that focuses the light that, I guess it's a mirror, the lens anyway, that gathers the light, is adjusted in such a way where they're both focused on the same thing. So they, when you focus the binoculars on an object, they put the same vision back to your eyes. So collimation is a term that, well, if it's collimated correctly, the binoculars will give the single vision. So sometimes our vision and God's vision is not collimated correctly. And so we have a vision of we want something, and God has a vision for our life, but it's not correct. So there's two things. Maybe God's vision is focused up and our vision is focused down, and so there's double vision. And that causes a problem too. And I believe it's a lot more frustrating to God to have that than it is to me to have a good pair of binoculars that doesn't focus. So today, I'd like to take some lessons from the life of Jonah. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Jonah. And I would like to start reading here in Jonah chapter 1. We all know the story of Jonah. My children, we have a book at home that has the story of Jonah. And the main thing that we think of is Jonah being swallowed by the fish. And the children, that's the interesting story. Jonah disobeyed God and the big fish came and swallowed Jonah. But that's not the focus of the story. The focus is not the fish swallowing Jonah. Let's read in Jonah chapter 1. And we'll probably read most of the four chapters. In chapter 2, I'll skip a few verses, but we'll read verses, start in verse 1. And for those that, I did want to commend our school teachers here for teaching the books of the Bible. I think Miss Amber was teaching Russ, the first and second graders, the books of the Bible. And sometimes in the Minor Prophets, it's hard to find it. But if you have it memorized, it's easy to find. Jonah comes after Obadiah and before Micah. Okay, Jonah 1, verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now we'll skip down here to verse 9. It says, But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now Jonah was in the belly of the fish. It changed his perspective. It says, And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be... Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was Jonah's message. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So Jonah initially, Jonah was a Hebrew. He was the son of a Hebrew, a Mittai. Jonah's mindset was highly influenced by his background. His points of reference were all from the Hebrew or the Jewish perspective. So when God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, go to the to those Assyrian people there and preach to them, Jonah was like, no, we don't want them to be saved. We don't, they're evil. And Jonah had the vision. Jonah's vision was the word of the Lord. It came to him, said, go to Nineveh. And Jonah's goal in this case, he said, it was definitely not to help Israel's enemies. It was to preserve, he was a very patriotic Jew, or Hebrew. He was from Israel. So he was a patriotic one, and he would not go there. His goal was not to help his enemies. The choice that he made, or the choice was to obey God's word or not, and Jonah chose not to. The action that he took in this case was to run and get as far away from God as he could. Get as far away from God as possible. And that's what he did. That was the action that he took from with the vision that he had, that the abstract idea. Jonah followed that around. The goal, his point of reference, was so foreign to this vision that he had received from the Lord that he chose to disobey God and flee. God had a vision also, and God's vision was to reach the city of Nineveh with his word. His goal was to give the wicked people a chance to repent. The choice that he made, he chose Jonah, the son of Amittai, a Hebrew, to do his work. But Jonah didn't cooperate. And so in God's love, or the action he took, he watched Jonah's response, and he arranged circumstances in such a way to hinder Jonah's plans. And it's interesting, Jonah was running away from the presence of the Lord, and God sent the wind. He sent the wind and the storm, and Jonah became a missionary on there by accident, because the men, I don't know if they were Israelite men or not, or if they were foreign, but they got on this ship at Joppa, which was a seaport in Israel, and took off for Tarshish. Now, I'm not sure if Tarshish, they thought it might be the island of Corsica off of Italy or a part of Spain, but he was trying to go as far west as Nineveh was east. He was trying to get away from God. But when this tempest came, he was down in the bottom of the ship sleeping, and they woke him up and said, "Get up here." And they had cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah, and they asked him what he's about, and he said he's fleeing from the presence of the Lord, but he serves God, the God of that made all this, the sea and the land, and he told him to throw him overboard. So throw him overboard, and the people didn't want to, and they had cried to their gods earlier, but now they cried to God to spare them for throwing Jonah overboard. So after they threw Jonah overboard, the sea became calm. They offered sacrifices and made vows to God. So Jonah had become a missionary by accident, even in his action of running away from God. So God used that circumstance to for his glory. But God was able he altered circumstances there. He didn't take Jonah's choice away from him, his free choice, but he did make circumstances such that Jonah considered his plight, because now he's in the fish. And it says, then Jonah prayed. That's in chapter 2, verse 1. Jonah prayed. Jonah had a choice. He could have still not prayed, but he did. So for 3 days and three nights, God left Jonah in the fish's belly. And Jonah was praying like he had never prayed before. At the end, Jonah promised to pay that he had vowed. And I'm not sure what that was that Jonah had vowed, but he promised to pay that. And then God rescued Jonah from the fish. So after the fish experience, Jonah had a change of perspective. So now, the word of the Lord came again to Jonah. Jonah, the vision came again. Go to Nineveh. Well, now, Jonah is not going to run away again. It didn't work out the last time. So now Jonah's goal is to obey God. He promised he's going to obey God, and he did. He obeyed God. The choice there was to obey God's word or not again. So he chose to obey this time. He went to Nineveh, and he preached what God told him to. That was the action that he took. So now God, I don't know if Jonah knew the message or not before he got to Nineveh, but God told him to go to Nineveh and preach what he told him to preach. After the fish experience, Jonah was willing to obey God. He still wanted to see Nineveh destroyed, but he wasn't willing to run away anymore. He went to the city and preached what God told him to. It's a short message, 8 words. It says, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed." Jonah thought, I can do that. So he did. He went 3 days through the city. Now, I don't know if the city was big enough that it took 3 days to walk straight through it. It was 120,000 people there, or more than 120,000 people, or if it took that long to walk around and talk to everybody. But it took him 3 days to complete his trip through the city. Jonah thought that this might turn out well after all. But Jonah's vision and God's vision were like the binoculars here. Jonah could not, he did not have the same vision that God had for this. Even though he's obeying God, technically now, he's obeying God, but God is using him in spite of Jonah's lack of sympathy love for the Ninevites. But God's vision and Jonah's vision are still separate. But Jonah, it took him 3 days to complete this trip. With his mission accomplished, he went outside the city a safe distance to watch what God would do. But God had used the preaching of Jonah to stir the hearts of the people of Nineveh, and they repented of their sin and turned away from it. And even though Jonah's vision was not God's vision, he still did what God told him to, and God used that message to open the hearts of the people. They repented, God was pleased and decided to spare the city. But now, in Jonah's vision, after he preached, was to see God's judgment come to pass. After he had preached this message, now his vision was to wait and see that Nineveh be destroyed. The goal was to be rid of Israel as Israel's enemies and his own enemies for good. The choice that he had here was to accept God's decision or not. And then he became angry and waited to see if God would change his mind and destroy the city. So he sat there and waited. But God's vision was to, he was not willing that any should perish. His goal was to see all come to repentance, even Jonah. He chose to love mankind even in a sinful state, and he made it possible to come to him even when we were yet sinners. He has pity and compassion on lost souls. The people of Nineveh also had a vision now. They had heard this message, and they heard the word of the Lord. Their vision was they heard the word of the Lord that had come to them now through Jonah. The goal was to escape the wrath of God, and the choice they had was to accept or reject God's word. The action they took here, they wholeheartedly repented. The people of Nineveh accomplished God's vision for them without consciously realizing it. They did this through obedience, by obeying what they knew to be right. And Jonah accomplished God's vision by his obedience to it, but not without some help, some extra help from God. Was Jonah's vision of a successful mission was that God would destroy the people of Nineveh. His vision was still not collimated with God. Jonah's vision of a successful mission was that God would destroy the people of Nineveh. God's vision of a successful mission was that they would repent. The people of Nineveh responded to God's word and repented and came to God in spite of Jonah. Was Jonah successful? Depends on the vision that he had. If he was trying to destroy the Ninevites, he failed miserably. If he was hoping for their salvation, he was successful. And that those two visions, Jonah's vision and God's vision, were two separate things. And yet God used Jonah's actions to work his will. And in our own lives, do we have a vision of where we want to go? Do we have a vision in our own lives to accomplish God's work? Is our vision and God's vision lined up? Today we have the Holy Spirit to teach us what... excuse me. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us and to collimate. That's a word I hadn't known until this couple weeks ago. Collimate our vision and God's vision together. It's a sad thing if we go through life and we get to the end of life and we look back and we say, what did we do? But we have no lasting, our mission was not successful in God's way of thinking. That is a sad thing. Maybe we got all our work done, but we did not do the important things. Do we have a vision, and is our vision and God's vision lined up? I'd like to read some verses out of 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 through 15. 3 verses 9 through 15. And that talks about the being laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, it says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So what is the measure of a successful life? Jonah's mission, in his own mind, was not successful, because Nineveh was not destroyed. In God's mind, Jonah had a success. The mission was successful because Nineveh was saved. Do we have a vision of where we want to go? As in this journey that's called life, do we have a sense of purpose? Do we have a sense of direction? Do we have a vision of where we want to end up? The goal of where we want to be, what we want to accomplish. As laborers together with God, let's study His Word and see what His vision is and adopt the same for our lives. With the Holy Spirit, let's be broken before God and study the Word. And as young people starting out, let's set some goals. Let's set some goals of where we want to end up. Let's not just wander around aimlessly waiting for something to happen or some purpose to come to our life. But let's be intentional about living life. As couples starting a home, set some goals for how you want your home to be. And let's be intentional about this. Start family worship early. From day one, even if it's just you and your wife. As parents, when we have children, do we have a vision for our home? Do we have a goal for our children? Do we have an idea of what we would like to see them become? Do we have a long-term vision and of what we would like them to become? And do we break that down into small goals that we can reach easily? For example, do we have an idea we would like to raise children with a positive outlook on life? Everybody likes to be around people that are positive. But one way of being positive is raising children that are thankful and grateful. Can we break that down into small things and teach our children to say please and thank you and to be grateful? That's a small thing. Do we show them by example? Do we show them by example to look for the good in situations? And I'm speaking to myself here. By nature, I'm a very pessimistic person, and I don't want to be. But this is something that I need so badly in my own life, in our lives of our children, that we would have a vision of where we want our children to end up, where I want to end up. Break that down into small goals and make the choices that we need to make based on the long-term vision that we have, and make those choices and the actions that go with that, so that we can take this reality or this idea and change it into a concrete reality. Does our vision, above all, does our vision line up with God's vision for our life? Do we have goals? Do we make choices that are God-honoring? And do the actions, our actions, reflect a life in tune with God? Our vision and God's vision must line up to be successful. And if our vision lines up with God's vision, if our life is collimated, if our vision and God's vision are lined up and it creates a clear picture, then our lives will be a success. At the end of life, our lives will be a success. Let's kneel for prayer. Mm-hmm.